Thanks for braving the cold. It's only appropriate that we do polar conversion today. It worked. I was waiting all day to say that.
Wait, that's it. Show's over.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm quitting right now. I usually say things like that to my class, and I hear nothing. So this is a good class, and I appreciate it. Okay, so there's a wide range of people here. How many have ever heard of polar coordinates? Some? Okay. So I'm going to do some just basics to introduce you to that system in case you haven't, since many haven't. And somebody raise their hand again who's heard of polar coordinates. Yes, sir. In what context did you hear about polar coordinates? In school. Good, good. What were you studying in mathematics when you were? Was it in math class, hopefully?
Yes.
Okay. And what were you studying? Speak loudly.
Like which class?
Well, what was the topic? It was polar coordinates, but in what broader topic were you?
You were looking at like functions of polar coordinates.
Mm-hmm. Was it in algebra, geometry, trig, pre-cal?
I think pre-cal.
Pre-cal. Because that's where you usually see it. When you get to pre-calculus and you've had some trigonometry and polar coordinates are introduced, and then quickly you do polar conversion. Because the polar system is a different system than a rectangular system, but it's supposed to be consistent with the Cartesian or rectangular system that you usually study. So a colleague and I from Armendariz thought, well, that's all good, but to really understand polar, because when students get to the university and they do calculus, they do calculus on polar systems and polar equations, and most of them don't even know what they're doing the calculus on, even if they've had pre-calculus. So we thought, what is a better way to acquaint students, at any level really, to what the polar system is? And my hope is that you'll like the polar system enough by the time you leave that maybe you'll go there and never come back. That one wasn't as good, wasn't it? Okay, so anyway, we'll talk about the polar system, and you're going to find that it's a system you've seen before. You just didn't know that that's what you were looking at, probably. You're going to work on these tables, and you're going to use spaghetti. If that gets unruly and the spaghetti falls on the floor, you're welcome to just get on the floor here on the stage and everything and do what we do as time goes on. Before I get started, though, I want to introduce my son. He was nice enough to come. His name is Vector. Vector Boy. Say hi to Vector Boy. Okay, you go back. All right, good. All right. So the rectangular or Cartesian system is the system you're used to working in. How many of you have heard of quadratic equations? Hopefully most of you. And if you haven't, we're just going to put some numbers into equations and see what numbers we get out. So you don't need to know a whole lot about quadratic equations. What we're going to do mostly is compare quadratic equations in a rectangular system in the context that you learn about. What's the graph of a quadratic look like? A parabola. So you learn about parabolas. And let's say, what does that same equation look like when you're in a polar system? Not converting the parabola or the quadratic to the polar system, but just graphing the same thing in a polar system and see what happens. So first we're going to do a bit of review. You can't use calculators for any of this. That's the other fun thing. This is all done through estimation, approximation. But it should still be quite revealing when you're all done. Now, here's an example of a rectangular system. Here's the coordinate system in a rectangular system. You have numbers here, numbers there. I skipped the numbers on the side and just wrote 4. So does anyone know what the equation of this line would be? F of x equal 4, y equal 4. Perfect. See? Good. This is a good start. Okay. Now, we're going to see what would that look like in a polar system. But before we actually think of that, I have to explain to you how the polar system works. In the rectangular system, of course, this would be the x-axis, normally called the x-axis, and this is the domain for some function. If you had f of x equal 4, and here's where I'm going to take my x values. We're going to deal with nice discrete values, but think of this continuously. I would take a 1 and I'd put it in here. What would I get as the output? 4. I would take a 2 and put it in here. What would I get? 4. So I could put in any of the numbers in between and my output is 4. One way to think about this function f of x equals 4 is it takes these numbers, for example, f of x equals 1, and it takes this point right here, and using a directed line, a vector, it drops that point off there. That's what that function does. It takes this point and maps it to that point. Likewise, if I were to put in a 2, the function, when I hit the graph with the function, it takes that value 2 and drops it off at 4. That's one way to think of functions. Okay? And I'm going to call this thing, what do you call this thing when a thing that has a magnitude and a distance associated with it? It's a vector. That's why I named my son Vector. That's why I brought him today. Okay? So it's a vector. But you don't even have to know what a vector is. We'll just call it a directed distance. But the key is that its length is very important, and its angle from a horizontal is very important. Now, in a polar system, use my very expensive compass and draw a circle. Try to draw a circle. All right. Now, in a rectangular system, you go over and up or over and down. It's a very square situation. In a polar system, what you do is you go out a distance, and then you sweep an angle. So instead of f of x equals something, it's a function of an angle, and we'll call that angle theta. So really, we call it r of theta in a polar system, where theta is just an angle. So don't worry about the symbols. So instead of being this rectangular, very square, over and up idea, the polar system is circular. It's a wrapping function. Okay? So if I wanted to name a point here, and how many units have I gone out to get to that point?
Three.
So this would be the point 3. It's named in by convention as an ordered pair this way, r theta. And the angle, if I said this angle, see with the chalk, this angle is 45 degrees, then this is the point 3, 45 degrees. Okay? And that tells me, and most people look at the angle first, that means I go an angle of 45 degrees, and I go out 3. Now, we don't have to use degrees here. We're going to have to learn about this thing called radians. But we'll talk about that. So the only two things new that you might have to worry about is what a directed distance is, or vector, and what a radian is. But I'm going to teach you an easy way to do radians. If this is 45 degrees, it's halfway. What's this angle here?
90.
Oh, you're the best. Who yelled 90? Did you? That's great. This is 90 degrees. So what would this point be? Or this point? What would that be?
92.
It would be, by convention, 2, 90. Okay, so that's 2, 90 degrees. And you can go around, 180 degrees, etc. All right. The other strange thing about polar is, it's not a unique system. On this grid, if I go over 3 and up 1, what's that point? The ordered pair what? 3, 1. How else could I name that point? Trick question. Can I name it any other way? No, that's 3, 1. No matter who does it, who names it, it's 3, 1. But let's look at this point right here. What is this all the way around, by the way? 360. I want you in my class. 360. So what's another way I can name this point? .405, because I could go around 360 degrees plus 45 degrees. So this is the same point as 3, 405 million. I could go this way around and name this as a negative angle. I could say 3 and then negative 315 degrees. So there are infinitely many ways I could name a point in the rectangle, in the polar system. So that's one difference. So keep that in mind. The only other thing you need to know about a polar system is I could name this point, if I go out 3 this way, let's do it. Remember, this is just to get me there. This is my directed vector, my directed distance that's dropping off the point. This is called the pole, not the origin. This is the pole. So how would I name this point if this is 45 degrees more than this? This is supposed to be a... Raise your hand if you can name that point. I'll call on somebody else. Can you name that point?
225.
So that would be the angle?
Yeah.
225 degrees, and what's this? How many do I go out?
3.
So that's the point 3, 225 degrees. That means I swept 225 degrees from this. This is called the polar axis. 225 degrees, and then I go out 3. Now, R by definition, this R value is positive, but we can direct it negatively. So another way to name this point is to go up 45 degrees, but then reflect that point 3. And that reflection is noted by a negative. So this is also the point negative 3, 45 degrees. These points are the same. You still end up here. This says go 45 degrees, go out 3, but reflect it negatively. So that's another way. So does everyone have the naming convention down? Any questions on that? Good. Now I'm going to make it more complicated. All right, so let me unclutter this. I think you'll like this, though. Okay, degrees are cumbersome. They get in the way. Because how many people actually really measure your degrees unless you have this special device to do so, a protractor or something? So we can use another convention to name angles. We can use what's called a radian. Okay? And radians are just real numbers. How many degrees are in a circle again? 360. Okay. All right. If I had, what's the formula for the circumference of a circle? Circumference? 2πr. 2πr. Okay? Now, what if the radius of the circle is 1? Then the circumference is just 2π. Okay? Yes?
So wouldn't 2πr be the same as πd?
πd, yeah. And what is d?
Diameter.
Πd. Diameter. Or 2π times the radius. Okay, we're going to define a radian like this, and it's related to this formula. Keep my circle, get rid of all the clutter. A radian is defined as the number of times the radius fits along the circumference of a circle, of any size circle. So, does everyone agree this is the radius of a circle? This is of the circle I've drawn. Okay, so I could ask, how many times does this radius fit along the circumference? Okay, so this is going to, I'm going to have to approximate, unless Vector Boy can come help me. Hurry up, Vector Boy, come over here. Can you reach up and put that on this, put that string on the circumference? Just put it over to there on the circle. All right, everyone agree that's 1 time? All right, I'm going to make a mark. Okay, we're going to do it again. Get my radius. And do it. Push that up. Okay, there's two. This is how he earns his spaghetti. Okay, here it is. All right, push it up if you would. There's three. Okay, I'm going to keep track. There's three of those there. All right, get our radius. I can do this one. That's approximately four of them. Okay. There's five of them. Okay. Right there. Six of them. Okay. Thank you. I just realized I didn't have the microphone on here. I mess everything up. I've been yelling. Yeah, good. All right, I'll put it in my pocket then. All right. So how many times did that radius go around the circle? Over. Exactly six? Nope, six and a little bit.
I'm guessing it's 2 pi.
You're guessing it's 2 pi. That's wonderful. Is that a guess or a conjecture? Made me cry a little bit. That was great. That was absolutely great. Yes. So if we define a radian as how many times the radius goes around a circle, it's 2 pi times. 2 pi times the radius. So what is 2 pi? Well, pi is approximately 3.14. So 2 pi is approximately 6.28. And this is approximately 0.28 radians left. Just says this is 3.14, 180 degrees, pi would be halfway around. So that's approximately 0.14 radians. Now, radians are nice because they're nice continuous values, and they're just real numbers, numbers you're used to working with. So forget this degree thing, okay? Does everyone understand what a radian is? Not just this bright young fellow in the front. All right, because we're going to use radians to measure angles. And one thing to keep in mind is this is 90 degrees. How much of 2 pi is this? If this is pi, half, this is 2 pi all the way around. This is pi. What's this? Pi over 2. And what's pi over 2 approximately? I want to get away from the pi thing, you see, because pi is this strange thing. What real number is it approximately? 1.57, approximately. Just, what real number is this approximately? 3.14. What number is this approximately?
It's approximately
4.71.
4.71? Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take your word for it. 4.71. And what's this approximately? 6.28. All right. You see, instead of using 360 degree scale, we're going to use this scale. So if I said an angle of 1 in radians, all you have to do is approximate. Is 1 going to fall in this quadrant or this quadrant? The first or the second? The first, because it's between 0 and 1.57. So 1 radian in angle is probably, it's a little closer to this than that, it's probably right around there. Ha! I fudged. I knew where it was because I measured. That's an angle of 1 radian. And really, radians are used just to tell us that we're using that system. Radians are dimensionless. I can call that a 1. So instead of saying this is so many degrees, I can say it's 1 radian. And what would this be? An angle from here to here? 2 radians. See, it's that easy. How many like radians better than degrees? Good, get used to them. Because when you come to the university and Aaron teaches you some calculus or Karen teaches you some calculus, you're going to be radianing your life away. It's a much more fun system. Getting chalk all over me, but the only reason I really do that is so my wife knows I really went to work today. So anyway, we're going to use radians.
And that's going to make your life easy. Because what's going to happen is, instead of thinking this on this rectangular system, we're going to think of these as the angles. So if this is an angle of 1 radian, and I have to go out 4, I'm going to use my spaghetti, or you could just use pen and paper, but I'm going to put my spaghetti down, and I'm going to break off this vector. I'm going to approximate it. See if I can break it approximately right. I'll break it right there. There's my spaghetti vector. In a rectangular system, the function takes that 1 and uses this vector to drop it off at 4. In a rectangular system, how would that work? What do I do? What does the 1 become? In a rectangular system, what does the 1 become? The theta. So if I wanted to know what the point, I'm sorry, in a polar system. In the rectangular system, I have the point 1, 4. In the polar system, and I'll remind you that that's an r and a theta, where do I put the 1? In position A or position B? Position A. Where does the theta go? B. Okay, so that's now 1. And what's my r distance? 4. Because the x, I'm going to take and make that the theta now. Remember, this is just a comparison. It's not my conversion. And my 4, I'm going to take that and put it there. And that's what you're going to do for this exercise. So you're going to take the y value here and record it as the r value, how far from the pole. You're going to take the x value and record it as the theta value. Does everyone understand the process? Is there anyone who does not? We'll walk around when you start doing this. So that means if I take this point 1, 4 and the associated vector with it that rolls away, and I lift it off the paper and put it on this system, that tells me now I have to go through a radian measure of 1. So I could start my vector here and sweep through 1, which is around there, and I go out 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, and I drop off a point. So I drop off a point right there. There's my first point that I've taken from this rectangular system and dropped off in the polar system. So can anyone think, if I took all these at 2 radians, at 3 radians, at 4, at 5, and 6, and took all these vectors and dropped them off on this system, used them to drop points off, this system wraps around the pole. It's a circular system. What would the figure look like? Pardon? If I wanted to compare, this is not a conversion, it's a comparison. If I wanted to compare the line y equal 4, and we know that's a horizontal line, what does that be? What is its comparison companion in polar? A circle of radius 4. Okay, in polar, this is a circle radius 4. Okay? Anyone have a question on that? Because look what would happen. I'll do one more. I'll go through the whole thing. At 1 radian, remember we count these x values now as radians, I go up to 4. So I make that vector with my spaghetti. I use that spaghetti to go through 1 radian sweep of an angle and drop it off at 4. And then at 2 radians, which is past 1.57, I drop off another point at 4. And then at 3 radians, I drop off another point. So I'm always going to be, no matter how many points and where I look at them, I'm going to be on this concentric circle that is 4 units from the pole. So I create a circle. Now, that's in your paper. that I gave you. And we take these vectors, and if we scale the system the same, see, in this system, every two boxes is a radian of one. So if that's one radian, two radian, three, if I scale it and go out, I put my vectors down, you see I would create a circle. Now that's key. If you understand that, by the end of this exercise, you'll understand any polar graph. You could look at it in rectangular and say, I know what that looks like in a polar system. So your task is to use your spaghetti, or you can just use your paper, just make sure you scale right. And I would ask, do I have this in order? I don't think I do. I think I skipped one, so I'm going to give it to you. Great. Here's the challenge. And you can play with your spaghetti and your graphs. If you have the graph y equal x, you want to graph that in your rectangular system, y equal x. And the question is, that would mean, what would it be in polar by my comparison? Instead of y, I write r equal theta. What does that look like? Use your spaghetti and your graphs to find out. First graph, y equal x. And you can use spaghetti or you can just think about it. What is that going to look like? And you don't yell it out, I'll ask. Yes? Yeah, there's a whole bunch over here. There's sheets, there's spaghetti. And if you don't like that you're on a table and your spaghetti's going to roll, you can sit down on the floor here and do it. No. And talk to each other. And if it's too cumbersome to mess with the spaghetti, you can do it in your paper. You just have to make sure that you scale your rectangular and your polar to be alike. I see a lot of good y equal x graphs. That's a good start. Okay. So now use your spaghetti vectors and see what do you get.
Let's figure out how long the radius
is. Yes. So y equal x, huh? All right. Now what would that look like in your polar system? Okay. So even though the scale isn't exactly the same, one x, you know, one r is there, you can take as one unit, okay? Remember, you can't use calculators. This is all approximation. Mm-hmm. So what's that going to look like in a rectangular system?
Isn't that what we just did? Where y equals 4?
Cool. And then once you do the dots, try to connect them, but do it in more of a, you know, like a circular mode, because since it is wrapping. Now, let me point out that when you make your dots on the polar graph, since it's a circular system, when you connect the dots, they shouldn't be connected with line segments. What should they be connected with?
Circles.
With arcs of circles. So make sure you're wrapping circularly. So once you drop off your points, connect them with arcs, parts of the circumference. Okay. How you doing? So is that what you think you get? Good. Good. How are we doing?
We're doing pretty good.
Good. So what do you think it's going to look like?
Well, I know.
I'm just trying to get my son him to think about it. All right, great. Yes.
Is that always one radian one?
Oh, I don't even know what that demarcation is. It's pi over something. I think it's pi over 12, so that's 2 pi over 12 or something. Right?
Oh.
But anyway, you can approximate. You know 1 is probably around there somewhere.
Oh. Right?
Remember, this is all just approximation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You'll still get a good graph. So what do you think is going to happen? Do you know how to graph y equal x? Okay. If write down y equal, have you graphed functions before?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll show you how to do it. Write down y equal x. Okay, these are your x values. Okay, so if I, x, you always put these numbers in for x. So when you put in 1 for x, what is y equal? If I replace that x with a 1, what does my equation say? Y equal 1. So y is how much you go up. So you go over 1 and you go up 1. When I put in a 2 for x, what is y now equal?
2.
So you go over 2, up 2. So that always tells you how to go up or down. If it's positive, you go up. If the x is negative, you go down. So then you draw a dot. You're using 3, 1, 2, 3. So you go over 3 and then up 3. And make a dot right there. You make a dot. Let's go back to 0. What happens when you put in 0? What do you have? 0. Okay, now if you put in 2, you go over this far, 6. 6 of these. And how many do you go up?
6.
6, yeah. All right. So then you have to think, what would that be in this system, in this polar system? Did you see that 1 radian's right around here somewhere? Because now the x becomes how much you wrap around a circle. And you go out 1. So if you go up 1 radian but only go out 1, you're there, because each of these is a 1, or however system you want to make. If you make it 3 like you have there, you're going to be off the paper. So you might call this 1 circle of length of, you know, radius 1, 2, 3. So if I go up 1 radian, which is between here, probably around there, and go out 1, there's a dot right there. Now, if you wanted to do it on that other paper, did you get the other paper? This is scaled such that if you call this a 1, that's approximately the distance 1 going out here, too. So it might be easier to do on there. Okay?
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. I know that's a lot if you haven't worked with the functions and the like. Yes?
Can you explain to me how to convert from the rectangle to the
polar? Okay, we're not converting, we're comparison. You mean in 1, well, where's your big paper? Okay, where's y equal x? Do you know what the graph y equal x looks like? What does it look like?
Just in a linear line.
Right, so make an axis and put a couple values in. Y and x. Okay, good. Okay, so go 0, 0. Yeah, you can just make that. Okay, so at 0, 0, you're there. At 1, 1, you're there. So to now put it on the radians, it says you go 1 radian. So where's 1 radian approximately?
This circle?
No, remember 1 radian is your angle.
Oh.
So and if this is 1.5, remember I said? So 1 is right around here. And how far do you go out?
1.
So there's a point there.
Okay.
So now think about it. The next one's 2. 2 radians is over near here. And how far do you go out?
2.
2, so now you're there. But 2 radians is probably closer to here. You're there. And then 3 radians is over here. You go out 3. And you think, what would that be?
Yep.
Okay. Is there anyone who wants to come up and show us what they did and what they got? What brave soul is going to show us? Okay. Okay, back there. Since you talked, I'll have you do a different one, if you don't mind. You can come on up. I'll have you do the next one, okay? Since you talked once already. Another guy's going to come up.
All right.
He doesn't care. So what we'll do is have both of them compare what they got. All right. So you go first. You mind if elders go first? Just this one time. No. Okay. He wants to go first. Sheesh.
Right.
I just work here. I don't know. Okay. All right. Now. All right. Can you put on the doc cam and show us? Here.
Right.
And you could look up there and see that your stuff
then
is up there. Okay. Explain your graph first. How did you get that graph?
I just said x equals y, so it's a diagonal line.
Speak loudly.
It's a diagonal line.
All right.
X equals y.
Let me get a piece of something I can write with.
What I did for the polar.
All right, wait. Let me catch up to you. Okay, here's 1. And you went up 1?
Yeah.
What do I do at 2? Now I'm really confused.
I say, let's see, 2 equals 2, so it's right there.
Oh, so y equals x, I go up 2. If I go 3, where do I go?
Right 3, up 3.
Right 3, up 3. I get it now. Okay.
And then you keep going.
Now, ask everyone, do you agree that this is the graph of y equals x?
Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone agrees.
Everyone agrees. Now what do we do on the polar graph?
I did the spaghetti. I drew lines on the spaghetti.
Oh, we drew lines on the spaghetti. I like that.
And then...
Wait, let's see it so people can see.
I drew the radians. They aren't exact on the paper.
Okay, so what's your name?
Spencer.
Spencer drew, he even marked his radians. What a smart guy. Here's 1/2 radian, 1 radian, 1.5 radians, approximately, 2 radians. Okay, so he went 1 radian. All right, 0, he's at 0.
And then I used the spaghetti and went to the first mark on the 1/2.
Uh-huh.
The second mark on the first third on the 1.5. On and on and on.
Okay, so he didn't even break his spaghetti. He's a green when it comes to spaghetti. He didn't want to waste it. So he said, I went 1/2 radian in the rectangular system. I go over 1/2 and up 1/2. So in this system, he went 1/2 an angle, I mean 1/2 radian angle, which is along this line, and he went out 1/2 unit. So he put a point right there. I'll show you his point better. There's his point. And then he went 1 radian and went out 1 radian. 1.5, 2. So there are his points. And very smartly, since this is a wrapping system, it's circular, he connected with arcs. And so what does Spencer's graph look like?
A spiral.
Okay, what is your name? How about a hand for Spencer? All right. Come on up. What is your name? Spencer took my stuff. Okay, Elias, what did you get?
Well,
here.
I'm just kidding. You could take that.
Okay.
So,
let's see if Elias agrees.
Originally for the y equals x.
Speak loudly, Elias.
Okay. Originally for the y equals x, it'll just go for each y-axis or each x-axis. It'll be the equivalent on the opposite axes.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's y one. X, it'll be 1y, or 2x, it'll be 2y, which is basically the same thing I used.
Okay, so he took his spaghetti vectors, and what did you get when you put them on the polar system?
Well, when I put them on the polar system, I wasn't as detailed as the other one. But
he wasn't as detailed as Spencer, but he went up one radian and dropped off a point at one. He swept two radians, which is more than this 1.57, and he dropped off a point two circles out. Three radians would be a little over here.
Yeah.
But he skipped some points, and he also seems to be getting a spiral. Okay? How many got a spiral when they did this? Ah, this is just a great bunch. All right. Thank you, Elias. How about a hand for Elias? Okay. Now, that's fairly straightforward, I hope, for you, especially once you see how people did what they did. Here's where it gets a little different and hopefully a little more fun. Although, how many are having just a great time? All right, thanks for lying, and I appreciate it. No, I'm just kidding, but at least it's warm in here. Okay, so what would happen now if we had a quadratic? And since I think we have time to do most of these, let me find a good one, although they're all good. First quadratic I want you to do, I guess, is this one. Now, by quadratic, I mean an equation of this form, y equal x squared, you know, ax squared plus bx plus c, this form. Okay? All right. I want you to graph that. And you don't need a calculator. Put in some values. It's already factored for you. What are the zeros of that quadratic going to be? At x equal 1, because if I put 1 in there, I get a 0. And at x equal 2. Now, if you don't know about quadratics, because there are some very young people here, you could do it by a table. But we'll graph that rudimentarily together. Okay, so there is a 0, because if I put in x equal 1, there's a 0. There's a 0 at x equal 1. And where else is there a 0? At x equal 2. Now, what's going to happen in between 1 and 2? First, is this a happy parabola or a sad parabola? How do you know it's happy? Pardon?
Because it's not negative.
It's not. The lead coefficient in front of the x squared is a positive 1. So that means the parabola is upward oriented. So it's going to look something like this. Does everyone agree? Where is this vertex going to be? If this is 1 and this is 2, where's this what's the x value of this vertex? The x value is 1/2, 1 1/2, right? 1 1/2 or 3/2. And then you can put 3/2 into the equation and figure out what this is. Some already have. Here's the fun part. You're still going to start, where does this hit the x-axis? When x equals 0, what's y? Put in 0. What does y equal? If I put in y equals 0 squared minus 3 times 0 plus 2, what do I get? 2. Okay, so I haven't drawn this well, that's for sure. So it's going to be much more like that. And this has got to be a 2. So I want you to start with 0. At x equals 0, you're at 2. So at 0 radians, when you go to polar, you have to go out 2, a vector of out 2. But by the time you get to 1 radian, you're back to r equal, how far do you go out from the pole? How big is your vector? How tall is this vector to get from the x value of 1 to the point? 0. So you're back to the pole. So you need to lay down some vectors in between. I would lay down a vector here, take maybe put a 1/2 in. You're going to get a vector like that. You have a vector like that. And what happens this way? Remember our convention? Now these vectors are directed in which direction? Positive or negative? And those are r values. Remember what that means? If I wanted an r value out to here in my polar system, if it's a negative, what do I do after I go out there? I reflect it this way. It reflects symmetrically that way. So if this is an R value, an R theta, this is negative R theta. Keep that in mind as you take your vectors off and put them on the spaghetti for that one. And see if we can figure this one out. If we can figure this one out, we own the world. Believe me, you're going to see that. So ready, go. Having fun? You can walk around. Yes, you can. I mean, walk around in here. Yeah, see what they're doing. Ask Spencer what he's doing. Have you figured it out already?
Okay, I figured out like 5.
Hmm?
I figured out like 5.
Let me see the one we're working on. What'd you get? Good. So what would it look like if you could go on and on and on with it, both positively and negative? Any ideas? I mean, if you extended the graphs, what would it look like? Because we're going to talk about that. And then it would go around. Now, I see an intersection there. If you kept going around, what would happen with all those intersections? Any ideas?
It would be in a supposedly straight line.
Where?
Three halves plus pi radians.
Now look at your rectangular, your parabola. Any relationship to the parabola?
The axis is in between 3/2.
So even when you go into a polar system, the symmetry holds. Interesting. So have you done the other ones? Have you done all of them?
Except for number 6.
Number 6?
Yeah, number 6.
Have you gotten... Oh, yeah, that's the fun one. You don't have any equations or anything. All right. What is going on here? Theta's out, huh?
Yeah, he's being thorough with his Cartesian parabola.
Good. Good. So have you graphed your Cartesian parabola yet? Okay, you have. So what would that look like?
Wouldn't this be a hyperbola?
I don't know. You have to graph it to see.
Wait, no.
Okay, so let me see if your parabola looks good. It does. Now, you can take that as a 1 on here, you know, is a 1 out. You know, a 1 up is 1 out. So what is that going to look like now when you take your spaghetti distances? Cool. This one's harder. So you're just getting the quadratic. Mm-hmm. I think you probably have enough points to, you know, connect it smoothly. Make a better graph than I made. All right, good. So now you can think of at 0 you have a spaghetti this long. How far out do you go 0? By your scale, you go out 2, right? So on the polar graph, at an angle of 0, where's an angle of 0? You go out 2. So that would be where you dropped off your spaghetti vector, right? And then you could just go from there. You want another blank paper like this? All right. There are more blank papers up here if you've messed up one and you need another one. Here. All right. There you go. How are we doing? What's this going to look like? Ooh, cool. I like that loop. And say, so when you're done, think of what's going to happen if you extend it many, many times, you know, for a much broader range. Cool. Don't even try. It's all right. You need help to try, or you just want to think about it? Do you know how to graph the parabola in the Cartesian plane?
So like the rectangular?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Rectangular. What does it look like?
Parabola.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And where are the zeros? So. Yeah. So that's a 2, and that was a 1, I think, right? And that was a. Okay. So on this one, you can think about, okay, when you're at, where's an angle of 0? 0, yeah, and how far do you go out? According, you go out 2. Good. Now, I would pick something in between. When you go out 1/2, how far up do you go approximately? Approximately 1. So a half a radian is probably over here somewhere. How far do you go out? 1. Yes. Good. Good. Well, things are going to get funny when you go negatively. So see what happens there. See if you can do it. How are we doing? How are we doing over here? Did you figure out what it's going to look like?
Yeah. I got a Mr. Because I'm going out to... Here?
Yeah, but at 0, this is an angle of 0, right?
Right.
And where's an angle of 0?
Either.
Yeah, so you start out there and you go 2. So at that point, I like. But say at 1/2, where are you approximately?
Here.
Yeah, but you're only out 1 now. If you put in 1/2 here, I forget what you get, but it's close to 1. Okay, so now you have to come back to here. Okay, and by the time you get to 1, you're at 0 again. So your arc is going to look more like that, isn't it? Okay, so keep going. Then you have to the negatives to deal with. How are we doing over here? Okay, excuse me. Have you figured this one out as well? Are you getting there?
Yeah.
Good. Oh, look, that looks good. What do you think it's going to be?
I have no idea.
Oh, cool. So could you extend it now? What would happen if you extended it?
I didn't get it.
You didn't get it? We'll talk to this guy. He's got it.
He's got a lot.
What exactly?
We work on this kind of graph. It's called a parabola.
That's a parabola.
I got some questions.
Okay.
Can you treat it like a regular quadratic equation in some ways? Like, I see you have y equals x is the same as r equals theta.
Mm-hmm.
So you can substitute for that and then substitute theta values, right?
Right. So you want to write down, you want,
so
instead
like one
of...
one theta, where would one theta be?
One theta. One. What? Remember, this is 90 degrees, or remember if we change it to pi's, halfway around is pi, all the way around is 2 pi. What would this be?
This would be this would be half of pi.
Yeah, which is approximately what's 3.14 divided by
57.
Yeah, 1.57.
So
one
theta
is,
would be right here.
Yeah, sweeping this around,
yes,
that
but,
much.
But since that would be when I substitute one theta, the radius would be 0. I mean,
right.
Radian.
So right. So you're down there. So you sweep an angle. So maybe we should start at 0. At 0, how far,
okay,
what's the answer?
So then 2 theta,
right,
would be 4
no,
minus
0.
6.
Start at 0, if you would.
0. Okay.
0, but zero, how far out do you go?
0 theta would be 2 radian.
Right, so you go out to there.
But this isn't radian. I thought this was radian.
No, but 0, the theta is in radians. The distance from the pole anywhere is r. Okay? Yeah, and the distance from the pole is r, so you go out 2. Instead of y's, you write r's.
Okay.
So there's your first point,
so
right there.
So if I have 0 theta,
uh-huh,
and I have two radian.
Right.
I would go and...
No, you have an R
is
two.
It would be here, right? That's two, if you go like...
Well, you said if you're at zero, you're out two, and you just told me if you're at one, you're only out one. So, okay. So wouldn't your graph have to go
zero,
from
zero? You're out two. Though.
Out two, so you start. That's where you drop off your point. The okay. next at one radian, you told me you were out
zero.
About one. No.
No, at one radian, you're out at zero.
At zero, right? So you have to be back here. I'm sorry. So you should do one in between. What happens if you put in a half a radian? Okay. Yes, that's the idea. So check with him. All right. This is yes.
Explain how you.
Go from there to radian, or explain how we got that graph. Well, did you have the equation in front of you somewhere? Okay. This just says, what happens if I put in x values? What y values do I get? So if I put in x equals 0, I have 0 squared minus 3 times 0 plus 2. What do I get? If everywhere there's an x, I put a 0. What's 0 times 0? Good. Minus, what's 3 times 0? Plus 2. So when x is 0, y is 2. So when x is 0, you go up 2. Okay? Now, this is factored. This is the same thing as that. If you multiply this out, distribute, you'll get that. So at x equal 1, if I put a 1 in there, what's 1 minus 1?
This is roughly 1 half.
0 and 0 times... Well, it doesn't matter what this is. What's 0 times any other number? 0. So at 1, I'm at 0. Another way to do that is just put a 1 in here, and you see you get 1 minus 3. What's 1 minus 3? Negative 2, right? Okay. Plus 2? 0. Negative 2 plus C. So this is just another way to write this. So likewise, if I put in a x equal 2 here, that's going to be 0. So I know there's a 0 there at 2. And these other values, parabolas always have this type of look, so you know it's going to dip down and be symmetric. And you could put in other values. Put in a half, put in 3/2. That's harder. And you'll see, you'll get that value. I think someone said that was negative 1/4 or something. So you can make a table and just put in other values. But the parabola is going to be symmetric about this. So if it looks this way here, it's going to look that way there. Do you understand how to put in the points? Now on the radian thing, if 0 radians means an angle of 0, so I'm staying along this here line, and how far out do I go? How many circles do I go out? Well, where did this one drop off? 2. So you would go at 0 angle, you would go out 2 and drop off a point right there. But notice at an angle of 1, we said at 1 radians, probably about this much of an angle, you only drop 1. So it's going to start here and then it's going to go back into 0 in an arc. So I'll have someone show their picture and see if you can understand that. That's a lot if you've not done it. Hey, don't use that. My battery's gonna go dead.
Oh, I was just I want to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
After I did that, I kept on clicking enter and E97 came up.
Mm-hmm.
And I clicked Y equals we got radians.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, can I have your attention? How many think they know what's going on here for this particular equation? Okay, a few. And what was your name? Ann, can you come up and show us and explain your graph to us? All right, Ann. It'll go up by itself. Get out of Ann's way. Okay. Show us your parabola first, your quadratic graph. Okay. And just kind of briefly explain how you got that again.
Okay.
You can see it in there, too.
Yes. So basically, I just graphed the...
Speak loudly, Ann.
Y equals x minus 1 times x minus 2. So I just plugged in points, and I knew that the zeros were at x minus 1 and y equals 2, like you explained. And then when you plug in 0, you get y equals 2, because negative 1 times negative 2 is 2. And then I just plugged in other points, such as 1 half and 2 and a half, to get these points, just by multiplication.
Okay. Does everyone understand the graph of the parabola? Did everyone get a graph that looks like that? Notice her scale is different. I think 4 boxes is 1 unit on her scale. Okay, now how does that relate to the polar? Well, let's see the polar companion graph you got. And this is R equals the quantity theta minus 1 times theta minus 2. Okay. How many got something that looks like that? Good. So can you explain, Anne, how the heck you got that?
So basically, I just, once again, like the parabola, I just plugged numbers in. And so I knew that with the other graphs, I had like 1 was equal to 0. So at the angle of 1, it's equal to 0. And then at...
What happened when x was 0, which is now a radian, an angle of 0? Where's an angle of 0? Okay, when you plugged in x equals 0, you got 2. So now when theta equals 0, how many circles did you go out?
I just went out.
At theta equals 0, how many circles did you go?
2.
Okay. When theta equal 1 half, it looks like you tried another one. At 1 half a radian, what did you get approximately?
I got 3/4.
3/4. So you went out 3/4 of a radius of a circle. And then we know when theta was equal to 1, we got a 0 in the rectangular, and so you had to, when theta is equal 1, can you show me where 1 radian is? An angle of 1 radian is along there, but how far out from the pole do you go?
I went directly on the pole since it was 0.
0. Okay. And then when theta is 2.
It was also at the pole because it was 0.
Okay. But what happened in between that 1 and 2?
I plugged the point in, and it was negative 0.2 pi, and so I went...
So 3 halves, right? When 3 halves, when x equals 3 halves, if you have a radian of 3 halves, that's almost at 90 degrees, but instead of going up, because you got a negative...
Negative number, I went and reflected it, and so it went down.
Okay. So does everyone see... Pardon? Yeah, zoom in on that if you would. I will for you. All right. So, were all those negative? Can you show us your quadratic again? Okay, try to line it up so that, all those negatively directed spaghettis that would be here. You know, from the negative directed spaghettis become reflected and make that loop. Will you show your loop again in polar? And they make that loop because of the R reflection. Point out your loop if you would. Yeah, that loop right there. So, an interesting thing to note is when you have a zero and the graph in rectangular goes below this x-axis and then comes back to zero, what's going to be created in the polar graph? What's going to be created?
Reflection.
A reflection, but what will it look like? If you go from r equals zero, then you reflect negatively, and you go back to zero, what are you going to create in the polar graph? A loop. Now, what if it went like this? If you had a sad parabola and you wanted to do that polarly, these would be negatively directed, your spaghettis. But these spaghettis would be positively directed, but your R's would be zero here. What do you still create? A loop between there. So, keep that in mind. All right. And let's zoom back out. And it's kind of hard to see because it's light. But you have that. Look. So you have this spiral going this way with a loop and a spiral going this way. Did anyone see what happens if you kept putting in values?
Nope.
Nope. Yeah, someone, where's the, someone back there, dude? Can someone, does someone have it on their graph? In, where is it? Okay, who's she? Bring it up. Come on. Okay. Let's try to think about it. Think of the spiral you did. I'm going to make this darker. Is that all right? If I can find my marker. All right. I'm going to ruin your paper. Okay, so this came around like this, and we can conjecture that it's probably going to continue like that. This one came around. We can conjecture that it probably is going to continue like that. There's going to be an intersection. Now, what if it kept going around? What if you put in larger and larger values both ways? There'll be another intersection and another intersection and another. Now, where does that intersection occur? Remember, the angle is, if we sweep an angle, if we go through the pole as well, what is that angle? Spencer is guessing 1.5. How the heck did you get that? Oh, look, Spencer said happy parabola. I like that. Oh, okay. Sheesh. Where's your other one? All right, so Spencer is saying that this parabola has a symmetry. At that point, at x value here, we have the vertex, and it looks the same on either side of the vertex in terms of its behavior. So what is the line of symmetry? X equal what, Spencer?
It's 2x minus 3 squared minus
1
over
4. Okay. X equals 3/2 or 1.5. Okay, there's a line of symmetry for that parabola at x. That means at x equals 3/2, for those who haven't worked with quadratics, there's x equals 3/2. The graph is reflected about that line. Either way, I could take half that graph and reflect it. So Spencer's saying that 3/2 is special. Where are those intersections going to occur for this? Okay, at an angle of 3/2.
Well, you could call it like 3/2, like go to the left 3/2 and then go down.
Yeah, you could go. So what's the line of symmetry? If we all agree these are going to intersect as these spirals keep going around, what's the line of symmetry that will break this graph exactly in half as a reflection? Instead of x equal 3/2, it's theta equal 3/2. So the symmetry holds. And once again, this is not a conversion of a quadratic into a polar system. It's just a comparison. What does this same equation look like if we write it polarly? So we see that symmetry seems to hold. You'd have a conjecture that symmetry seems to hold. Okay, I think I'm going to go ahead, and there are many others you can look at. But let's make some conjectures about it. Thanks, Ann. How about a hand for Ann? All right. Spencer, you're a mathematics animal. That's good stuff. All right. So when we had this thing here, what did it create polarly? A loop. So instead of having you do it, what if we had a quadratic that did this? And it was, say, tangent to the x-axis. How would that manifest itself polarly? Okay. Say it loudly.
Like a little dip.
A little dip. Instead of the loop. Oh, can I have your paper again? Yeah. Thank you so much. All right. So instead of the loop that Anne got, if we had this one instead, the conjecture is we wouldn't loop, we'd just have this dip or dimple. We'd have a dimple. There would still be a line of symmetry at that. This line of symmetry we have found should hold, and the dimple should occur along that same R equals that theta line of symmetry. So what's the next case to ask? If we're just dealing with upwardly oriented happy parabolas, what else could happen with the quadratic? It could be above the x-axis. So what's going to happen there? Yeah. We'll still get a dimple, but it'll be a smoother dimple. Will it come actually to the pole of R equals 0? No, it'll be above it. And so you'll get this type of look in your polar. It won't be as pronounced a dimple like that. So the cool thing is, if you understand why that happens, then when you get to trig, some of you have gotten there, when you get to precalculus, and all these classic curves that I'm going to show you are thrown at you, I can assure you that most students, even after they've seen it, have no idea why the loops are there and why these curves look so pretty and everything. But if you remember back to this, I hope you'll understand why the loops that you see in the classic curves that I'll show you in a little bit are there. Now, because of what you've learned, and I'm going to give you your paper back, I promise, I want you all to work on this last one. If I can't find it here it is. Now, if you understand what's going on, you could look at any old rectangular curve. Here's just a curve. I didn't even give you the equation. It's the last page. Can you pass that back to Ann? You should be able to look at any curve that I give you and create its polar companion. So, for example, on this one, when x equals 0, it looks like y equals 1. So on your polar, at an angle of 0 theta, how far out, how many circles am I going to go out? 1, and drop off a point. And you can use spaghetti to do that, or you can just think about it now. When x equals 1 half, or a theta of 1 half, an angle of 1 half in polar, I'm going to drop off a point at about 4.5 circles out. So I want you to take a few minutes, not even knowing the equation of this graph, and figure out what its polar companion will look like. Ready, go. Mm-hmm.
Turn off the lights for this and make them see it better.
No, they can see this one fine. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but look at all these lights. I'm not going to mess with them.
No, I know.
Okay. Okay. Okay, good.
Were you planning to have a break at some point?
A break? Oh, do they usually have a break?
Yeah, we usually have a break.
Last time I did, I knew a break. And this might be a good time to take a break if you need a break as well.
Be back in 10 minutes.
Be back in 10 minutes, Aaron says. Anything else, Aaron?
No, I think that's it.
All right, see you in 10 minutes.
Keep working on graphing this thing.
All right.
Start up again.
I get carried away. Sorry, Aaron.
Can I go to the restroom?
Yes, I'll show you where it is. Let's go up to a different one than these people will all go to.
I'm just saying that it would be a good idea to
Mm-hmm. Sure you don't want a banana or anything? Excuse me.
He'll go like up to the third place.
Yeah, man. Or even the 10th floor. You think they're having fun?
Mm-hmm. I'm having fun.
You're not even doing it.
Well, kind of. I'm doing fine.
I teach all IBL classes. I make all my students present and everything, no matter if it's graduate or undergraduate. So if you're interested in that, just let Dan and Sandra know.
And, that sounds great.
You're welcome to come by and observe any classes or anything, too. I think they're pretty much set for spring. But we pay, with Mike Starbird, I run the IBL Center, and we pay for a certain amount of TAs each semester to come into courses like, you know, like this, taught like this, and be the TA for the course if you're interested. What year are you?
I just joined. It's my first semester.
Okay, so maybe, like I said, spring's probably already set, but in fall.
No, I don't think it's set yet. Mm-hmm. I think they decide like in Jan, like in the beginning of Jan.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, if you're interested, should I say you're interested?
Please.
Okay. So what I'm saying is I can't probably promise much for spring.
Yeah, I understand.
Because they've been thinking about, we gave them, and actually we did give some names too. But for fall, if you want to do it, it'd be great.
Of course, that'd be.
I teach a signature course. It's a lot of fun. In the fall, it's called From Numbers to Chaos. So we look at the field axioms and look at why the real numbers are a field. Then we go to complex numbers and see why they're a field. And then we start doing function iteration. Then we go to complex valued functions under iteration. Then we get to Mandelbrot set and Julia set.
Okay, so you have created it? So
yes. Of course, I don't do any courses I don't create.
Oh,
I don't use textbooks. So... it's kind of fun. It scares the heck out of them because I make them do some proofs. But it's, you know, it's fun because it's 60 students. It's in a room like this, but I make them come up and present and do everything. So
that sounds really fun.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm sure I'll also learn out of it.
Yeah, well, good.
Because I've never looked at, you know, for the partners the way you're teaching them. It's quite impressive.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, I think for the smaller kids, it's kind of tough because they probably can't even graph the parabola. But Spencer's getting it. But but anyway, thanks. Yeah, I try to look at things, very foundational things, in a very different way. That's part of it.
Wait, I'll send you a mail so you can...
Please do. Ermi, I won't forget, but send me an email. This is Vector Boy, Ermi. Mm-hmm. Ah, that's you. That's great. All right. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to turn off the lights. No, 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 no. Nope. All right. Are we getting there? That's a tough one, huh? Are you getting there? Good, good. Any ideas what it looks like yet? Good. It's not, it doesn't look, it's a strange looking animal, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
How are we doing? This one is a strange looking animal, so don't worry if it looks funny.
Yeah, it looks really funny.
Do you want a fresh sheet of paper? Oh, you have one? Yeah, in case you want it. Okay, good. I see. Good. Oh. Oh, thank you. How are we doing? Are we figuring it out?
Yeah. Well,
I can tell you it's a funny looking thing. You have your iPod? Okay. How are we? Oh, looking good. What is your name?
Alex.
Alex, you want to show that to us in a bit? That's an odd looking animal, isn't it?
No, it's all
right. Yes or no? Did you say no?
No.
Okay, all right. That's fine. How are we doing? Did you figure it out yet? No. Do you know how to look at it? Not really? Okay. You want some help or you just want to watch? Okay. Well, I'll just show you quickly. Where's that graph? Okay. At zero on there, right? How far am I up?
One.
So where's zero radians? And you go out one. There's your first point. Good. At, I guess this is one. So at one half, how far out am I? Approximately. Four and a half, say. So where's one radian approximately? The angle, one radian. That's 1.57, remember? So one is maybe around here. So you would go out how many circles? Four and a half. So you know it's going to sweep in an, you know, you always make arcs, an arc from there to there. From, yeah. Okay, so then make an arc from there. And you can do some points in between to really see. But it's going to look something like that. And then at 1.5, where is it? This is 1, that's 1.5. Where is it approximately?
1.5.
It looks like 1.5. Well, let me see. That's 1. Yeah, so it looks like 1.5. So at 1.5, that's a little shy of this axis. You go out how many circles? 1.5. So maybe right there. Yeah. And then you arc down to there. And so, see, so continue on.
So when x equals 0, it's always at the pole.
It's back at the pole because that's a distance of 0 from the pole. Yes. Okay, see if you can finish that.
Mm-hmm.
Show what you I tried to approximate the function there.
Yeah, but that's not the point of the exercise, is it?
To do it on your...
That's good. I mean, that is what it looks like, but the whole point is to do it using this. You understand this method? That's great. So tell me what kind of function it was originally. It's not... let me see what you have. It's a dampened trig function. Right. Oh, good. Good. So you already did the other thing. You're taking it a step down.
Yeah, he graphed
beautiful.
It.
I graphed it.
Well, that's wonderful.
That's good. It's like,
what program is that? That's a nice program.
Alpha.
Oh, it's Alpha. Okay. That's cool. You're right. See, you've knew the polar curves before. Have you seen them? Did you ever think of how those loops were made? I mean, did you understand all that before? Good. That's beautiful. It is a dampened trig function. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, I'm going to show those at the very end quickly. What are we thinking?
Okay, this is the graph.
Yeah, it's a strange animal, but that's about what it looks like. But the cool thing is now you can just look at any graph and understand what it means.
So
totally.
So what if you had a line, a straight line in the polar system?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a function that gets up?
There is, but it's. So how would it be? Now you can figure out what it has to be.
Well, it seems.
It wouldn't be obvious.
Right. So I'm starting to graph that.
Yeah. Good. Work backwards. That's even more fun. Good. Very good. What's your name? Kevin. You want to explain to us how you got it in a few minutes? Come on, Kevin. Who's your buddy? Will you? You can say no. Okay. Did you get it? Nope. Did you get that?
This is what we got.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's wrong.
Well, you're supposed to be confident. Say, we know this is right.
Yeah.
What is your name?
Bridget,
you want to show it to us in a minute?
Sure.
And you can blame it on them.
Okay.
You say, if this isn't right, and make sure to name them by name. All right. Are you figuring it out? They getting it?
Yeah, he's explaining.
Oh, good. That's a strange-looking animal, isn't it? Okay, you're going to have to move. Someone's coming up. Okay, if I can have your attention. What? Do you have a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been using the, R equals theta model and substituting points, the y equals x, equals theta.
Mm-hmm.
Can you also use the line equation when you have it like this? You don't have an equation. If it was like y equals x squared, then you couldn't use substitute. You could use the same model,
you could say,
except it would just be like r equals theta squared.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the fun thing. So,
but if there's no, if you don't know the equation, can you just use r equals theta for points?
See if you can. That's the fun part. See, some people are starting to ask is, well, here you're taking a rectangular equation and saying, now that I understand the way a rectangular system, the way the polar system works, could I graph the companion in a polar system? However, some are already taking it to the other level and saying, if I have a polar equation and I understand how it works, can I take that and graph its companion in rectangular? And that's a hard and interesting enterprise, too. And keep in mind that this is not converting from one to the other. It's just comparing behavior. in each system. Because for those of you, when you get to pre-Collin trig, most of the standard books, if not all, say, oh, here's rectangular, I'm going to convert to polar. And I'll talk a little bit about that in the last minute or two, but I think this is a more fun enterprise to understanding the system. And along those lines, I was going to give you more time, but Bridget would not leave me alone. She wants to come up and show her graph. And she said if it's wrong, her friends on either side, and I'll ask her to name them by name, are the ones that made her do it wrong, okay? All right, Bridget, explain it to us, if you would. Okay, before she starts, remember this is approximation. How many people got a graph that looks kind of like that? Oh, Bridget, that's a good sign. Now, what are your friends' names, Bridget?
Keisha and Pia.
Keisha and Pia, you're either in trouble or we're very happy with you. All right, Bridget, it's looking good, though. So, Bridget, tell us what happened here. How did you do that? Can you go back and forth between the graphs and just name a few points?
So, I just made a chart with all of the points. We just copied them down, and then we reversed it and graphed them, and we put numbers.
Okay, so can you actually show us a couple points on the graph and then show where they ended on the rectangular and then show us where they ended up in the polar?
Sure, yeah. So right here is the point 0, 1, and on this graph, I don't know if you can see it, yeah. It's right here, it's 1, 0 on this graph.
So it's a 0 angle and then you went out 1 circle. Okay, do just a couple more points for us.
And then at point 2, 5, 4.25 is what we estimated that to be about.
Okay.
Then we did the same over here.
So you said that's an angle of approximately 0.25,
yeah.
And you went out there.
Yeah, to 4.25.
Okay, so now I see you have a loop there. Can you explain where that loop occurs in your rectangular? Or where that loop is generated from?
It's from the point... right here is when it goes underneath the
X. Okay, so from approximately what to what in X, if you're just approximating?
It's like 1.75 to 2.75.
So approximately 1.75 in X to 2.75 in that interval, and show that interval of radians. Okay, radians, yeah. And since it went negative, you reflected those radians, but there were zeros, so it created the loop. Does everyone understand the loop there? No? Okay. And then you could go on from there. And it's a strange-looking animal, but it shows that you don't need an equation or anything. You can do this all by just approximating and understanding what's going on. How about a hand for Rachel? And for
Pia and Keisha.
Pia and Keisha. All right. But Pia and Keisha lose stars because they were not getting up here. Anyway. All right. So I hope this exercise has led to a bit of an understanding of what's going on in this other system. Where have you seen this polar system? I promise you, every one of you, not in school. But where else have you seen a polar system like this? Yes?
Movies where they show radar.
Or movies where they show what else? Yes? A map. Maps can be done polarly. And the thing is, there was a time in the geometry of our world where most everything was done in a polar system. There were angles and distances from the pole. The Euclidean geometry that we use has been around for thousands of years, but there was a trend in the 1800s for everyone to use polar. And it's because of that that when radar and things like that were made, they were produced in a polar system because it just made sense. You sweep an angle and you go out a distance. And it's real easy then to say the angles had to do with directions too. You could say, 70 degrees northwest and approximately 3 miles away. And everyone could understand a system like that. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's still flat. Well, I will tell you that it is Euclidean, because if the two systems are going to be consistent, for example, if you're in a rectangular system, if you go over 3 and up 4, there's your point. And if this is 0, 0, how far is that point from 0, 0? How far is this point from 0, 0? 5. How did you know it was 5? Pythagorean theorem. It's a 3, 4, 5 triangle. So this is 5. Now, you could figure out this angle if you knew some trig. There's a trig function, a tangent function, that could tell you that's based on ratios of right triangles. Sorry, that should be the 3. And you could figure out what this angle is. And if your systems are compatible, which they are completely, you should be able to take the polar system, put it right on top of the rectangular, and have your point in the same place. So really, this is in line with a Euclidean system. They are completely consistent with one another. It's just a different way to name, and it's based on a Pythagorean theorem, and when you learn trig, a trig convention of ratios of legs of right triangles. So I'm glad you brought that up. They are completely compatible. Now, when many of you haven't had pre-cal or trig yet, I can see, what will happen is you'll get to books and you'll get classic polar curves. And you'll see all these pretty pictures, and you'll see the neat thing about polar is the symmetry that's with these classic curves. And you'll see all these functions. Many of you know these are trigonometric functions. Trigonometric functions, once again, work with ratios of legs of right triangles. You'll learn all that. But as soon as you learn trig, it says, oh, and there's this polar thing with angles and r distances. And you learn all these, and students memorize these because it's real easy to tell. You know, you can look at an equation and know what these figures look like. But look at all those loops. And look at all these things with loops. I guess I can zoom out. And most students at the time, they get this, they'll just memorize, oh, this looks kind of like this. So it must be of the form r equal a cosine n theta. But they're never really taught why those loops are there and how those loops are generated. You will know that now. So when you get there, send me an email and say, I know that now. Okay? I want to hear from some of you however many years from now. Here's my email. If we still have email, I don't know what we'll. Maybe we'll just think about it. There's my email. I hope that at least one person emails me and says, I know where all that stuff comes from now and why this works. Because that gets masked when you do the conversions. You'll also talk about conversions. Instead of just comparing and understanding why the symmetry is there. And the last thing I'll show you, if I can find my calculator. Where did you put it, Vector Boy? Okay, thank you. Is when you get to these things in calculators, you can go to what's called a polar mode. And when you press Y equal, you'll get r equal, because you have r as a function of theta. Now, this is called Fermat's spiral. It's r, and it's what that gentleman asked about earlier, r equal theta squared. Well, what was r equal theta? You did that one. A spiral. And r equal theta squared is related to that when you think about it. It's still something that, as theta sweeps around, it's growing more and more away from the pole, and it's going to be a spiral. But because of the way you put it in, you have to put it in your calculators, r equal square root of theta, and then r equal, negative square root of theta, because r squared equal theta. I'm sorry. R squared equal theta. Thanks. R squared equal theta. And then you'd put it in your calculator like that.
Thank you.
And you get a spiral, and you can think about why that happens based on what you know. And I'll just do a, I'm going to do a zoom square to make my calculator look nice. Oh, I gave it away already. Here's what it should look like if you put it in your calculator. You get a spiral, but eventually, because of that negative square root of theta, you get a spiral going the other way as well. So you get two spirals. Now, the fun thing about exploring these things in a calculator is that your calculator, every 0.13 radians, and now you know what that is, 0.13 radians isn't that much, it puts in a point and then it connects the dots to get a nice circular mode. But the fun thing about this is you can play with the calculator and change what's going on. Let me stop the graph. And instead of every 0.13 radians, I'm going to put in every 1.5 radians. So instead of putting in figuring out a point, you know, the output for a point, you know, every few degrees, what is 1.5 radians approximately? That's approximately 90 degrees. So it's going to skip all those points and just plot a point every 90 degrees, but your calculator is still always programmed to connect the dots, right? And not only do you get these beautiful polar curves and you can play with them and get nice flowery looking things, you can make them jagged by telling your calculator to skip points, and you get really neat pictures. And I'm going to make it do even more. It's hard. You don't see it so well on the screen. But if you were to do this in a calculator, you see nice, it looks like a pinwheel, you know, the things that blow. And where all the intersections are, you get another pinwheel-looking thing. So you get this iteration, this geometric iteration, this fractal iteration built into this thing, and you can ask yourself why that is there. And if you have a calculator, once again, it doesn't show up on the screen, but you get a much more defined pinwheel of arcs going around. So I suggest, yes? No. Oh, I didn't? That would help, wouldn't it? Thank you. See, I'm rushing because I know my time is up, so I apologize. Negative. And I'm going to make it go around about 10 times. Let's see if this helps. Maybe that. Oh, it does just fill it in some. See, and it actually looks, well, that looks a little better. You can see the pinwheels. Thanks, Karen. You can see the pinwheel action. And the other thing you can ask about is a thing called fractal dimension. Why is it that you perceive it, this iterative look? Fractal dimension is an interesting thing that it has been looked at. Fractal dimension is, what if we view dimensions? How many dimensions do we live in? Most of us? Three dimensions, right? Length, height, width. And what's zero dimensions? A point. And then you stretch a point, you get one dimension, you get a line, stretch the line, you get a plane, and then stretch the plane, you get a cube. But if you consider fractal dimension, you consider dimensions as continuous. So there's not just 1, 2, 3 dimensions. There's 1.2 dimensions. There's 1.3. There's 2.7 dimension. And you could look at the fractal dimension of these things, and it would come out that the fractal dimension of this thing is somewhere between 2 and 3 dimensions. And maybe that's what helps make it interesting to us to look at, because you're looking at something that your brain perceives in a strange dimensional way. Now, no one is saying fractal dimensions are real, but it is an index of the complexity of a figure. So that's for another talk I'm going to give. Yes? Yeah, string theory is now called M theory. Last time I read about it, they change the name of it every once in a while. M for manifold. But yeah, I think there's 11 or 12. Every once in a while they add a 13th dimension. You know, physicists, they're nuts. Anyway, I hope I leave you with some questions to pursue, and I thank you very much for doing this and coming.
Mm-hmm. Can you do more lessons?
Yes, I could. Mm-hmm. Aaron, did you have something? Mm-hmm. Anything? Yes.
So, does a bipolar dimension, like the one that you showed in the calculator, just go on and on forever?
Yeah. And the way you extend it in the calculator is you... I'll show you. You extend the theta. If you have a calculator like this, you see theta max, it's by default it's 2 pi, but you can just make it 100, make it whatever you want, and you'll see more and more. Okay?
Can you show me another one?
I'll show you another one. Right now we're going to pack up and get out of here. All right. Excuse me. Thank you, Karen. I'm rushing. Thank you, Karen. Oh, thank you. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming.
What are decimal dimensions?
Well, if one dimension is a line and two dimensions is a plane, what is 1.2 dimensions closer to, looking like a line or a plane? A line. What would 1.8 dimensions be closer to? No, it's not curved. It's just probably a little more jagged, because an index of complexity is an index of jaggedness, because most things are jagged.